Retro program here on Planet FM. We will bring you interesting interviews, updates of future deco, modern, retro, and other related events. Also the stories that celebrate New Zealand's history and its people, as well as book reviews and other snippets capturing the glamour and fascination of a bygone era.
Deco Retro, Deco Retro.
Good afternoon, listeners. I'm Philippa, and today our program is about one of the world's most famous hotels, Raffles, and the extraordinary man after whom it was named. Raffles Hotel has come to symbolize the mystique, opulence, and glamour of a time in the Far East when the British Empire was at its zenith. In Singapore today, there are clubs, streets, squares, apartment buildings, and other landmarks bearing the name Stamford or Raffles. But nothing surpasses the affectionate nostalgia that the hotel, known simply as Raffles, has inspired in travellers from all around the world. Over the decades, celebrities, the rich, the famous, and no doubt the infamous, of each generation, have chosen to stay at Raffles with its French Renaissance-style architecture and powerful sense of history, reminiscent of an era of elegant travel and elite colonial society. The guest list has included rubber planters and their memsahibs, roaming dukes, princes and maharajas, Joseph Conrad, Rudyard Kipling, Somerset Maugham, Noel Coward, Douglas Fairbanks, Charlie Chaplin, and in more recent times, Elizabeth Taylor, Diana Ross, Michael Jackson, and David Beckham, to name but a few of the personalities who have passed through the grand entrance, into the palatial lobby, enjoyed cocktails and gossip in the long bar, lounged amongst the tropical profusion of the Palm Court, dined in the magnificent dining hall, or lingered on the ballroom dance floor in hopeful anticipation of that frisson of excitement, the promise of romance. Somerset Maugham fell in love with the hotel, and according to him, Raffles stood for all the fables of the exotic East. When he first visited Raffles in March 1921, he would often sit under a frangipani tree in the Palm Court. And while staying, he corrected the galley proofs of a volume of his short stories called The Trembling of a Leaf. He also worked on the play East of Suez while there. Other hotels, equally famous in their time, have since gone. But Raffles still lives on, and it is still considered a rite of passage when passing through Singapore to visit this symbol of colonial grandeur. I remember visiting Raffles in the mid-60s and being treated to a Singapore sling in the long bar. I was just 18, but with its echoes of the past, it felt like stepping back in time to me. In my youthful imagination, I felt that Raffles must surely have a resident ghost, or two, perhaps. Anyway, I'd better tell you about the man himself, that great visionary and founder of Singapore, Sir Stamford Raffles. But first, I don't want you to get bored with this commentary, so I'm going to liven things up and play you the Raffles March, composed by A. Deitz in 1903, specially for Tigran Sarkis, one of the four Armenian brothers who were the first proprietors of Raffles. A brass band sometimes plays this rousing piece in the hotel grounds, much to the delight of visitors.
Thank you.
1819, Sir Stamford Raffles raised the British flag on a small jungle-covered island and founded a settlement that would later become the booming city-state of Singapore. Thomas Stamford Raffles was born at sea on the 6th of July, 1781, aboard the Anne, on the return journey to England from Jamaica. His father, Benjamin Raffles, was the captain. Thomas did not have a privileged childhood. His father lost money, and the family fell on hard times. So at the age of 14, Thomas joined the East India Company as a clerk. 2 years later, his father died, and 16-year-old Thomas had to support his mother and sisters. After 10 years, at the age of 24, the company promoted him to the post of assistant secretary to the governor of Penang. Prior to his departure for the Far East, he married Olivia Fancourt, a widow 10 years older than himself. Though they had no children, he adored her, and the marriage was a great success. Small of stature and physically fragile, Stamford Raffles was a born scholar, charming, energetic and adventurous, but also impetuous, causing him to fall out on occasion with the narrow-minded, bureaucratic directors of the East India Company. Brilliant, articulate, a humanitarian idealist, he passionately believed in the abolition of slavery. Raffles inspired both devotion and hatred among those he met. However, he did have powerful admirers and friends, including William Wilberforce, Sir Joseph Banks, and Princess Charlotte, daughter of the Prince Regent. During his life, Raffles suffered from violent headaches, the cause of which was not understood at the time. He also experienced personal tragedy and the scourge of tropical disease when his adored first wife Olivia died suddenly in Java at the age of 43. He later also lost 4 of his 5 children by his second wife, Sophia. I won't go into detail of the events which took place during his 19 years with the East India Company in Southeast Asia, except to say that he worked tirelessly to extend British influence to counter the growing power of the Dutch in the region. He certainly showed astonishing foresight when he founded Singapore in 1819, creating not only a future powerful trading state, but also a strategic outpost of the British Empire. On returning to England as a widower in 1817, he met and married his second wife, Sophia Hull, in 1818. Later that year, he was knighted and appointed Lieutenant Governor of Bencoolen, Sumatra. The following year, he landed on Singapore Island, saw its potential, and raised the British flag. During the 6 years he and his devoted wife Sophia lived in Bencoolen, they buried 4 of their 5 children who succumbed to tropical disease, probably malaria. Broken-hearted and in failing health, they returned to England in August 1824, having survived shipwreck on the way and losing all their possessions. Despite 19 years' service with the East India Company, Raffles was bitterly disappointed when the directors chose not to grant him a pension. Instead, they vindictively pursued him, and later his widow, for a perceived debt to the company. Raffles died on the 12th of April, 1826. An autopsy revealed a tumour of the brain, which accounts for the recurrent excruciating headaches he had suffered for at least 6 years. He left no direct descendants after his only surviving daughter, Ella, died at the age of 19 from tuberculosis. Before she died, age 72, in 1858, his widow published a memoir of his life and work. If you visit Westminster Abbey, you'll see his marble statue, placed in 1832, in final recognition of his place in history. Let's take a break and return to Raffles and join the Ritzy Ray Dance Orchestra in the Grand Ballroom playing As Time Goes By. Monday, the 7th of December, 1941, the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. Meanwhile, in Singapore, the social routine remained unchanged, and at Raffles, life continued as usual. The war seemed a million miles away, and no one was particularly perturbed. Then, the following day, the Japanese invaded Malaya. Life was about to change forever. The Raffles ritual sing-song before lunch, "There'll always be an England," now had a hollow ring. And then the unthinkable happened. The British surrendered to the Japanese unconditionally in Singapore on Sunday, the 15th of February, 1942. The good life was over. 2 days later, the Japanese military commandeered Raffles for their exclusive use. Fortunately, this gave the staff enough time to bury a number of the hotel treasures under the turf in the Palm Court, including the great silver trolley from the grill room. Then, with the Japanese surrender in September 1945, war ended and Raffles entered a new phase, but not without further drama when two lingering Japanese officers decided to remain at Raffles and commit harakiri. Raffles, instead of an oasis of elegance, was now converted into a transit camp. At this low point in Raffles' history, perhaps we should put on a brave face and hear a song composed by Charlie Chaplin, who was a guest at Raffles in 1932. "Smile," with Raymond Oy on trombone. Returning to normal after the war, Raffles was refurbished and the gala opening of the new ballroom in 1948 heralded in a new era with fashion shows, beauty parades, dancing competitions and fancy dress balls. Raffles was once again a magnet for the rich and powerful, and the guest list now included Pandit Nehru of India, Emperor Haile Selassie of Ethiopia and Pierre Trudeau of Canada. After the Sarkis brothers, Raffles had a number of proprietors, but but was beginning to show its age with the prospect of bankruptcy and demolition looming. Fortunately, however, in 1987, the centenary of its foundation, Raffles was declared a national monument, and in 1989, an ambitious project was begun to restore it to its former colonial splendor. Elizabeth Taylor visited Raffles in the 1950s and in 1993. I'm sure she would have tried a Raffles Singapore sling. So I'll give you the recipe and give you time to get a pen and paper while we play the love theme from a film she starred in called The Sandpiper, performed by the Rita Z Quartet and Strings, The Shadow of Your Smile. Singapore sling. Take a 285ml highball glass and mix 30ml Seagram's London Dry Gin, 30ml of orange juice, 30ml of Seagram's Cherry Brandy Liqueur, 30ml of lime juice, 15ml of Triple Seagram's Triple Sec Liqueur, 30ml of pineapple juice, a dash of Angostura bitters, and 15ml of Benedictine. Shake well with ice and pour. You could garnish with an orange slice, mint and a cherry, a swizzle stick and straws. I think we'll all be smiling after one of these. Tradition, with Rita Z on piano playing the Noel Coward song, I'll See You Again. This is played at 8 o'clock every night as a tribute to all who have lived, laughed and loved at Raffles Hotel. But first, you'll hear the Raffles ancient grandfather clock chiming happily in the lobby.
Thank you.
Now, just a reminder, the Napier Winter Deco Weekend starts this Friday, the 16th of July, finishing on Sunday, the 18th of July. Events include a vintage car show, antiques and collectibles fair, dance classes, a cycle tour, a walking tour of the Deco Quarter, and the Winter Deco Fashion Flaunt. For more information, go to artdecofestival.co.nz. artdecofestival.co.nz. There's also a free phone, 0800 427 833, 0800 427 833. And that's all from me. If you enjoyed our program today, listen every second Wednesday of the month at 2:10 p.m. or download us anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/deco-retro. And we would like to thank our sponsors, Club Moderne, Art Deco Society Auckland. We will keep you informed of all future exciting and glamorous events to be held by Club Moderne. For more information, email judith.moore650@gmail.com. That's judith.moore650@gmail.com. Bye for now.